Today, my dear faithful, is the second Sunday after Easter, and it is also Good Shepherd Sunday, and as well, the 51st anniversary of Bishop Kelly's ordination to the priesthood, so I ask you to please remember him in your prayers. And the epistle is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile, when he suffered he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But the hireling, and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and flieth. And the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling flieth, because he is a hireling, and he hath no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Dearly beloved, Christ also suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, in each of our lives, we have had different pathways to come and arrive at this chapel, attending this traditional Latin Mass. Some were scandalized by the new church and sought out something better. Others researched and found the doctrine had been changed, then looked for the truth. There are many different roads like these that each of us took. But one thing that unites all of us here right now is that Bishop Kelly provided an essential role in our being here. For we would not have this chapel, nor this priest, or these sisters without him. Bishop faced that same question of what to do in face of the changes, and this is while he was in the seminary in the 1960s. You see, Bishop had left the Air Force, leaving behind his career to study for the priesthood. That is a great sacrifice to make, but what did he find when he entered the seminary? Ordained Catholic priest teaching in the seminary classroom that angels do not exist, miracles are not a real thing, morality is changeable, and anyone who dared disagree were angrily derided. In the middle of one class, one priest even insulted the recently canonized St. Pius X, exactly because of St. Pius X's opposition to modernism. The young Clarence Kelly recognized that something was seriously wrong. What a joy it was then when he heard of Archbishop Lefebvre founding a traditional Catholic seminary in Switzerland. The young seminarian eagerly reached out to him, and the Archbishop visited the United States to meet the group of seminarians that had banded together against the changes and looked to the Archbishop as their only apparent hope. In later years, Bishop Kelly often fondly recalled how Archbishop Lefebvre was so gracious in getting into his little beat-up old car, and how the Archbishop would chuckle at the dull roar his damaged muffler caused. Thanks be to God, Clarence Kelly entered the Archbishop's Seminary, finished his theological studies there, and he was ordained a priest on April 14th, 1973, 51 years ago today. For so many years, Bishop Kelly spent himself for souls. As a brief summary of those years, he founded dozens of chapels, wrote hundreds of articles and sermons, offered thousands of masses, and gave the sacraments to an uncountable number of souls. Then there was the founding of the Daughters of Mary, as well as the Congregation of St. Pius V, either one of which would be a monumental task for any one person. To accomplish all this, it is really almost impossible to comprehend how much prayer and sacrifice, hours and hours of study, joined with days of meetings, conversations, and counseling, all of that entailed. Truly, my dear faithful, we can say that the priesthood of Bishop Kelly was filled with immense and constant burdens that he bore for the glory of God and the salvation of souls, as every priesthood should be. His life could be well summarized in a postscript he included in a note to the seminary. I pray that God will set you on fire with love for the Sacred Heart and for souls. It is all that is necessary. Bishop Kelly, may God rest his soul, he did burn with that charity, first for the Sacred Heart of God Almighty, then for the souls that our Savior himself loved so dearly. And now it is one of those little marvels of divine providence that this anniversary of our beloved bishop falls on Good Shepherd Sunday. In today's gospel, our Savior declares himself the Good Shepherd. And his proof for this is that the Good Shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. No mere man can compare to the sufferings our Lord bore for us, for they were truly infinite. And yet, as St. Peter wrote in today's epistle, Christ also suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Jesus Christ bore his cross to be an example for us to bear our own in our own lives. That is why the passion was so terrible, the crucifixion so painful, his death so sorrowful. If God himself would humiliate himself and stoop down to accept such torment on our behalf, how can we complain or fail to carry our far smaller crosses? With such tenderness, the Good Shepherd looks upon us, his weak, frail sheep, and he clears away the brambles of discontent and sin that could snare us from following after him. However, the wisdom of God would do even more for us. He longs to make shepherds out of his own flock of sheep. We are to lead other souls to salvation, some in the priesthood or religious life, others in the married or single life. Each of us are to be good shepherds to the souls we come in contact with, because our virtue, our striving to love God and follow after him, can and will be an example that others should follow in our steps. Bishop Kelly's life as a priest shows us exactly this. We know he was just a man, that he was a fellow member in the flock of the church, and yet, following after our Savior, what an example, what a good shepherd, a man who laid down his life for us. How many times our priests have heard on the missions of the enduring impression the bishop made everywhere he went. His constant kindness, his enduring wisdom, his imperturbable demeanor helped so many to follow after our Savior. For so many saw our Savior in Bishop Cowley. And now, my dear faithful, it is our turn. Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Bishop Cowley followed our Savior as best as we can tell, providing us with so many ways of practicing our faith. Let us practice it then. Let us strive for virtue. Be kind, be meek, be humble, be obedient, be generous. Sacrifice yourself for God and for souls. The effect you can have on souls, if you follow after our Savior, it is untold in this life. Just as Bishop Cowley touched so many souls, so we can too. And please God, He will reward us with eternal happiness in heaven, and as well all those souls we help as well. But I ask you to remember Bishop Cowley in your prayers always, but especially today in gratitude to the Good Shepherd our Savior provided for us for over 50 years. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.